Just item number 10, discussion and possible action on Allen Creek Engineer by David Collingsworth.
This is a ability for us to inform you about a change in direction of says that we're fixing to have to get serious about producing more water, and more water is going to cost a boatload of money. We're not going to ask for any money today, but we're going to show you what it is and where it's going to be. It's going to, quite frankly, take some courage on your part, but we're at that point that we've been talking about for as long as I've been here, and that water is fixing the cost. If we're going to get water for a doubling population, we're going to have to pay for it at a higher rate that we haven't seen in the past. So this is our effort to show you the complexities. And oh, by the way, all these complexities are amplified because they're continuously changing. You get one narrowed down, you say, okay, got that fixed, and then something pops out. It's like the guy that had this, and he said, I ain't fixed that one. And it all turned, and that's where we are in this project, David.
You received in your board packets a couple of weeks ago the first write-up for the Allens Creek, and this is an action item to really take the next step forward. And we've talked in the past about moving forward effectively and efficiently, but continuing to march forward. And in that resolution, we left out a whereas, and that was a very important whereas to make sure that we had Houston on the hook for the money that we were spending. So keep that in mind as we talk about this, and as we talk about what we're trying to accomplish. We're still looking at the BRA owning 30% of the reservoir from the dollars that you're going to see, and Houston being a 70% owner in the project. And we've made no secrets about wanting to talk to Houston in the forthcoming days to see about their flexibility to move forward and change that ownership. But right now, we need to move forward with MWH, America's Montgomery Watson Harza, and start the long multi-year task of getting our hands around the permitting and getting our hands around all of the different design components. The folks are here with Montgomery Watson Harza. You've seen them here for the last three or four meetings. They're very committed. SWCA is here. Corolla's here. They're all part of the team, and they're very committed, and it shows in the contract negotiations that we've had and the scope of work that is a masterpiece, if you will, and its intent to capture all of the quality and all of the different components of this project. So, you know, one thing to keep in mind is that there's a lot of escape hatches here. So when we say it's time to move forward with a contract with Montgomery Watson Harza for $86 million, that is a contract that takes us all the way through the end of construction for their services. It takes us through permitting, engineering, design, and then it also allows us, should at different times of the project or at any time of the project, should we determine that the project's not constructible or we have other issues either with the project or the team, that we can just take the exit ramp and stop what we're doing. So and the biggest trump card that you have as a board of directors is you get to approve our annual budget. So we can only spend in this calendar year what you've already approved. So we'll be coming back to you on a frequent basis, giving you updates, and then coming back to you every July saying, okay, here's what we're going to spend next year, and here's how we're going to spend it. And so you have an annual trump card on a project this size going forward. As a reminder to you, this is Allens Creek Reservoir. It's down in Austin County. Once full, it's an off-channel reservoir, and it'll have about 100,000 acre-feet of water. We'll pump water out of the main stem of the Brazos. On days like today, we would be pumping water if the lake wasn't full to fill it up, to capture flows. And it is it serves two huge purposes for the Brazos River Authority. It's going to provide additional water downstream for our customers that so desperately need it. And then also, as you'll see, there's just another reference point. As you'll see here in this chain of reservoirs that makes up our intricate system, it is really an ideal management tool for allowing us to manage our drought when that reservoir's full and prolong the releases of water out of some of these other reservoirs. So it really serves two major purposes for us. As I said, Montgomery Watson Harza, their actual name is MWH AmeriCas. They're the team that we've been working with. The BRA and the City of Houston went through a very long, drawn-out process to select them and interview them. We've spent months developing a scope of work and negotiating a contract, and we're very close to the terms of that being acceptable. We learned a week or two ago that Montgomery Watson, or MWH, I always want to call him Montgomery Watson Harza, is being bought out by Stantec, a very large firm. Allow me to get to my notes and get my readers on. Stantec's about a $3 billion business, and this is really right in their wheelhouse. They're in the water. They're in the water infrastructure business, water development business, and after talking with the MWH guys and doing a little research and our guys doing a little research, it really looks like it's a merger of two companies that are looking for a bigger, more powerful footprint. So some of the benefits to doing business with a very large firm, I think, only get stronger in the ability to make sure that they can deliver a project that's very critical to us, both in time and in quality. So some of the team members, SWCA is the environmental group out of the Houston office that we're using. They've been the ones we've told you earlier that we had to get out and kind of get ahead of the ball and do some studies on the Houston toad because they're pretty particular, and you've got to do those things in January, February, and March. So we're on the downslope of figuring out some of that stuff. They're a great firm, and then you can see some of the other team members, Fugro, Corolla, that'll also be teaming up with them. Some of the major components of the project, again, are going to be almost 5 miles of earthen embankment. It's going to be a very large levee system, a pump station to move water out of the main stem of the Brazos, with the biggest issue not being the volume of water that we're moving, but moving water without filling our reservoir up with sand. So that's going to be a tremendous challenge to us. And then getting the water in an acceptable fashion back into the river, environmentally protective and sound, either through one of the two different types of potential gates or spillways that you're looking at. So the point I'm trying to make is that you have three very complex, major, large engineering issues that you have to look at all in their own. They would be big projects just on their own. And then there's the whole issue of permitting. And to submit the permit to the Corps of Engineers, we have to be far enough along in our engineering and design that we can show the Corps exactly what we're going to have in place so they can begin to understand the impacts to the environment and the flow regimes of the Brazos. We've got to also study the flood impacts. We're going to be actually taking water out of the flood. Out of the floodplain. We're going to be changing the floodplain, which is going to be a real big issue, and FEMA is going to be, and the Corps are going to be concerned about that. So there's just going to be a lot of challenges with the permitting and figuring out all of the impacts and how we're going to mitigate for those in our design and going forward. I've showed you this before. This is what the different phases look like. Phase one is an environmental assessment and 30% design. Phase two is the permitting approval process and public interaction. Now, what we don't have in phase one is the public interaction that's already begun. The public interaction in phase two is a defined process through the Corps of Engineers, where the Corps of Engineers turns, they develop a stakeholders group of agencies and folks throughout the state and the United States, and they get input from those groups. So we've already started meeting for a long time with elected officials and county folks. We're on the verge of having a educational video come out in the next 30 to 45 days. It'll be on our webpage, and we'll make it available to you all and county officials, so we can really do rumor control and make sure that as we move forward and impact Austin County, that we're doing everything that we can do to control and manage the impacts. And then phase three would be construction. If we could be in construction by 2021, 2022, that would be a really aggressive, successful timeline.
Archaeological relocation, do we know there are cemeteries or
there
things
are,
like that?
There are multiple cemeteries,
mm-hmm.
and there are also library. There is significant archaeological resources in the area that are going to have to be managed. It will be a significant undertaking.
Mm-hmm. That's tough.
Dave, what happens if we spend all this money and then we can't get it approved? I mean, is it just water down the drain, so to speak?
Well, the answer is yes. Hopefully the position and the path that we're taking is that as we reach milestones with both the constructability of the reservoir in the area and the understanding of the artifacts and the environmental concerns, that we won't wait till we get all the way to the end to know if we have a constructible project. Director Bell, to be honest with you, we could deliver the project to the Corps, and a more powerful political influence could take over and change our destiny. I guess that could happen. But the reality is, I think the steps that we're going to take along the way will help safeguard to where if we know that there's a deal killer in place, that we can come back to you and say, okay, we're cutting ties, and yeah, that's the money that we tried to invest, and it's money down the drain. But there's only the only way to determine that is to march forward in such a fashion. Yes, sir.
I'm all for this project. I always have been. As spokesman, started construction when I first came on the board, I think this year, but that didn't happen. My issues have always been, what guarantees do we have we're not going to get hung out to dry with the city of Houston? You know, they weren't for this. We were like pulling teeth early on. 2011, 2012, and so we're talking $86 million, of which they're responsible for 70%. What if they take that money and put it in inner city transportation?
Director, we're going to have an agreement in place to ensure that they're on the hook for paying for that. It's going to have to be contractually bound so we can move forward and make sure that we don't end up in such a position.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Regional water plant is this dam in? I mean, who's depending upon the water? Who's?
This is in Region H, and it's all of an overwhelming majority of the water is designated for the Lower Brazos, the GCWA, Sugar Land, that entire area.
So politically, this is how they're supposed to be providing water 50 years from now?
That's correct. This is a major. Go ahead. I'm
we
sorry.
Need the water. Is all I'm going.
Absolutely,
to you did. Yeah.
Yes. They don't.
And so we're trying to. So what if we come back to you and say we need to take it all over? We need to buy it, which we have offered to do. It didn't make it. But I think that could be. It's being renegotiated or relooked at, and we'll keep that on the table to see, because like you say, y'all need the water.
Absolutely.
Somebody's got to do it.
Well, it impacts the whole system, though. I mean, it's water for everybody. We get to store more water upstream, which I think's.
You sure become at times. You're sure going to be very more drought tolerant upstream. And 2011 is a great example. If we would have had the flexibility of Allen's Creek in 2011, things could have been different for sure. Director Bell?
With 100,000 acre feet, what's the revenue stream? What would we expect to generate from a sale of water? Anybody know?
Current system rate, about $7 million a year.
I'm sorry, say again?
The current system rate, about $7 million a year.
$7
million? Yes, sir. But wouldn't we be putting this cost in the
computing a new system rate?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It'd be much higher.
Yeah, absolutely. So, when you look at that, here's what the money looks like. And again, this is still considering that Houston is a 70% owner. Should we get in a position, and that's what we're working toward, and we've had good conversations with the city of Houston about putting an agreement in place that secures their reimbursement of these funds. Looking at using $20 million in cash reserves for next year. And then with Stephen Adams, with Specialty Finance, Stephen, you guys know Stephen. Stephen's been around on the team for a long time. There are a lot of different options in working through the Water Development Board where you can push out principal payments and deferred interest, and we'll put together such a plan so that we can understand the rate impacts and what that financial package looks like. But you're looking at about $46 million between 2018 and 2021, and then the construction somewhere in the remainder. And again, we're still saying a $300 million project, and that number may change as we go forward.
When would we be computing a new system rate based upon this requirement, and what would that rate look like?
The long-range financial plan forecast that we've been showing you for probably the last 10 years have always contemplated Allen's Creek. And if you visualize in your mind, and I know maybe it's not as clear to you as it is to some of us, we show a very flat system rate out to about 2019, 2020, and then it starts kicking up pretty dramatically, and that is the impact of Allen's Creek. And, of course, there's a lot of caveats in how that forecast looks. Yes, sir.
But even if we were to find ourselves as 100% shareholder, we would then have 100% of the water.
Sure, sure.
So it would be proportional.
Historically, is there a project? Has the BRA undertaken a project like this in the past, or is there one in the state that we can point to?
We've built reservoirs in the past, but we've never built reservoirs as a minority shareholder. We built Allen Henry, and I believe we finished that in 93, and then Limestone, I'm going to show you in a minute, is about 37 years old. So we as an agency have a background, but not with a shareholder.
Is the permitting process generally the same for what we did for those previous projects?
The permitting is probably called the same. As time has gone along, permitting and Tom, I mean, you can help me out here. The permitting is exponentially more complicated now than it's ever been, and it goes probably without saying that it would be exponentially more complicated in 10 years than it would be today.
And population and politics plays a big role.
David, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How on earth does the engineering firm come up with $86 million? I mean, why is it not 85 or 87? How can you sit here and think about what I'm going to be paying engineers 6 or 7 years down the road in order to get this work done? It just seems to me like if I were sitting on the other side of this contract, I'd have to pad it pretty hard.
They do have to manage that risk. But Director Rankin, we've also pushed them in a direction to give us a not exceed to amount, so we're not giving them a blank checkbook.
Well, I understand that, but if you take some of that risk away from them, they might be able to pass some of those savings on to you. In other words, if you had a contract that was a shorter duration, it's pretty hard to sit here and say what you're going to be doing in 2025.
That's correct.
It just seems like we're committing, and like I said, if I were this contract, any other kind, I don't know anything about, but it just, when you're laying a contract that far out into the future, mm-hmm. and then it's got not to exceed, and you're a big national, responsible, whatever firm, you're going to leave yourself, I'd leave myself a little breathing room.
Please.
But aren't we assuming one of the reasons they're being chosen is their experience? This isn't their first one. So
I'm just talking about the length. In other words, instead of a contract that goes all the way to 2025, what if you had a contract that went a shorter duration and then the next years would be negotiated? Then they wouldn't, maybe their costs don't go up as much as they have them anticipated in this.
I don't disagree. The longer the time, the more difficult. But I did want to point out one thing that we do. When we do these NITIC seeds, because you raised the issue about padding and putting some comfort level into it for the contractor, they have done that. But part of what they have to do also is, as they're billing, as time goes, we're looking at the actual hours. The NITIC seed is the maximum of what it's going to be for those tasks, but they're still accountable to us to generally to record hours. Now, we haven't finalized negotiations on this contract, but generally that's what we do. So the firm, the engineering firm, will come back in and true up the number of hours they've worked. And oftentimes, where they've put in, you know, let's say they put in $100,000 for a given task, they're accruing hours as against that task, and it may be $80,000, not $100,000. And then in that instance, they would bill us for those hours that were actually accrued, not the total amount. So you have to look at, I think, the not to exceed as the outer boundary of what the cost would be of the contract. I think in reality, it may well come in substantively less than that. I don't want to say that, because at the end of the day, who knows? But that's kind of what we look at. And what our folks are going to have to do is, when the invoices come in, we have to look at those invoices, and we have to true them up as against the number of hours that they've expended on those tasks. So, I just want to make it clear that we understand, I think, David, and the folks are here, that the firm that's being contemplated maybe can speak to it, but as they go in and give us the numbers, they've built in, I don't want to say a cushion, but they've put in a safety net for what they legitimately believe this not to exceed is. But that doesn't mean that we're obliged to pay the not to exceed on each tasking. Gentlemen, is that a fair statement of how you envision our discussions? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So, David, it sounds like this contract with Houston is a big piece that's left out. Can you give us what stage are y'all at right now with trying to get some formal agreement with Houston?
We are drafting an amendment to send to Houston, and the complexity of that amendment, pardon me, is that when the original agreements were signed back in the early 2000s, it was really contemplated, as Director Masterson said, that we would move right into construction. So we're having to verify what has been done and what hasn't been done, and we're trying to also put Houston in a situation where they can be successful. Long story short, we're still drafting that agreement and hope to have it to Houston soon for them to consider. Does that answer your question?
Well, I guess, I mean, soon, is that 6 months? Is that within the year?
Oh, no. The reason that we're coming to you now is because we would like to have that to Houston before the next board meeting. The timing issue is this seemed to be the right time based on you all meeting in a quarterly schedule to allow us the flexibility to move forward sooner than later.
Go ahead.
This require Houston.
They would have to figure out how they want to fund it, whether going through the Water Development Board or issuing debt. We're trying to structure an agreement that allows them the flexibility to pay us back once we start construction, so they would have some time to figure that out. But that would certainly be an option.
But as I understand it, we would be fronting the bill.
That's correct.
And they would reimburse us along on the project.
That's correct. That's the plan.
Yeah. So we have to come up with the money initially and collect it from them.
Yes.
Have they hinted that they might take less of a role?
In our discussions with Houston, I think they've acknowledged that Allen's Creek today is not as important as a water supply to them as it was maybe 10 years ago. They've been beneficial with their Loose Bayou project and other projects that have allowed them some flexibility. They've done a really good job in managing their water futures.
But have we indicated to them that we might be willing to take more of the project?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. They know that we would take 100% today. Director Bennis?
Any financial benefit to us for funding their portions? In other words, do we get compensated for interest or 10% more of the project if we have to carry?
Well, the agreement in place doesn't contemplate that. Whatever monies that we would spend plus interest, if they continue to be a shareholder, they would have to reimburse us for that. They have to make us 100% whole.
Okay.
That's the agreement that we're going to put together.
Sites available in the states? I'm just looking outside our thing. I mean, they're hard to get politically to have a acreage of to do another reservoir. Are there any others in the state that are in the planning stage we have some squatters here or anything like that, or people living there or that we don't know about
on our reservoir site?
Yes.
No, we don't have any squatters on our reservoir site. And the only reason I'm chuckling is because we grew some marijuana on it.
Oh.
We actively manage that, Director Sacanino, and we have farmers that raise cattle and grow corn, and we are we're very in touch with those folks, and they know what our plans are, and our commitment to them is to let them know years in advance when they need to have vacated and be out, so they don't buy corn seed and futures on ammonia and those type things. And
because this is difficult to get a reservoir site in the state of Texas to do any future reservoirs.
The opportunity that we have in front of us is very unique because we already have the water permit, we already have the reservoir site, and we're really one step away, which is very complicated, the 404 permitting, from having a construction-ready reservoir site. So it's a unique opportunity. If we move forward, it'll be a multi-year project before we ever get to groundbreaking, and there'll be a lot of interaction with the board and a lot of challenges ahead of us. Director Johnson?
Yes. Region H looked at some other sites for reservoirs, but this one seems to be in the best place because it's down in the lower part of the Brazos. They looked at an extra place to Lake Milliken. And they looked at the Little Brazos River for other sites.
But in those things, you have to get people out of the area.
Yes, there were people and environmental issues that caused them to say not those. And so this one is the best one. It was the lowest one. They collect waters before it goes into the Gulf of Mexico. So this is really a fantastic place, but it has some issues, some just challenges. Like every place. That you try to put a reservoir, people don't want it because it's going to make something different from where they have had in the past. But we should support this one as much as we can. And we can buy it. We should buy it. We can.
Did I understand you to say that we financially could go ahead with the project without Houston being involved in it?
Well, we could. I'm not so sure that that's the smart step to take. Without an agreement in place with Houston to make sure a city that has that is struggling with financial issues to move forward in such a fashion that we don't have an ironclad four-cornered contract that makes sure that we get reimbursed.
Well, what if they didn't? What if they decide they didn't want to participate? Can we, as an entity, go ahead and build the lake financially?
If they decide they don't want to participate, then BRA, we will come to you very aggressively to move forward as 100% owner moving forward with the project. Absolutely.
Okay.
And if your question is, do we have the ability to get the money, I think with our relationship with the Water Development Board and the aggressiveness that the Water Development Board is trying to take with SWIFT fundings, I don't think we'd have any problem borrowing the money from the Water Development Board to move forward with the project.
The state's got to do something. We got to produce some water.
I understand that, but we got to do this.
But I'm just trying to get the scope around it, and I can't really relate to big dollars. I have to break it down to an acre foot. Now, if I got my zeros right, it's going to cost you $3,000 to have an acre foot of water that you will have not every year, but in better times, right?
My understanding is that 100,000 acre feet of water is available farm yield every year.
Okay, so we're going to have that.
Yes.
So, we're selling water over here for, what's the rate right now?
$70.
Yeah, $70. Now, I'm in the water business. I'm going to pay $3,000 for something that's going to give me an acre foot every year going forward, 1 acre foot, but I'm paying $3,000, I can't amortize that or come anywhere near amortizing that with $70. I can do it with $150 or, you know.
But that,
if it were a private, you know, we're selling stock in this business and we're going to invest $3,000 for this acre foot, what would we as shareholders think we needed to be able to sell that acre foot for in order to have a chance of amortizing our debt?
And with all due respect, sir, if you take the price and you divide it only by 1 year's worth of yield, gets your number.
I know. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you can sell that acre foot every year for the rest of your life, okay? And it goes on forever. But you still pay $3,000 up front for it, and you're going to pay an interest rate on that, which, you know, if we were financing it right now, Stephen said, oh, yeah, now's the time. But somewhere down the line, you don't know how much it's going to cost you. So, you know, what's it going to cost?
4%,
5%?
We expect that the amortized cost of this water, when you use some of the funding tools that we have available to us from the Water Development Board, will be in the $145 to $160 per acre foot range.
What's the LCR rate right now?
$150 for take water. And then that cost, then further, because we have a system and we currently have about 400,000 acre feet of units being sold under that system rate, you take that $150 to $160 an acre foot amortized cost for this project. And you don't just divide it by 100,000 acre feet. You divide it now by 500,000 acre feet.
Well, what you're saying is the whole system, the existing system, supplements this.
We've always,
if you look at it just totally on a marginal basis,
it
is a rather high cost. Okay.
There will never be any less expensive water options available to any water provider in this state.
So you've answered my question, but do you see why I ask it?
I understand. Yes, sir.
You know, it's like this is not we just did $20,000 to, you know, get out information. This is like a big dollar amount.
And we talked earlier, and David mentioned it, the last reservoir we built was Lake Limestone, and that was almost 40 years ago. And we've gone through four decades without adding.
What was the cost on that?
A lot less than this.
It's kind of irrelevant by now anyway.
It was a lot lower per acre foot than this was.
Yeah.
But we've gone four decades without adding a drop of water to our supplies.
Yeah.
The math works, and this is part of our mission. I mean,
I'm going to vote yes. Okay. I just want to.
That's a good point.
Talk about it a minute.
All right, David, do you have a resolution?
$300 million.
Yes, sir. Can I make sure I answer Director Bell's question?
Sure.
If your question was, if Houston comes to the table and says, no, can we go forward, we would probably need to go to the legislature because Houston is a 70% permit holder on that reservoir and take action that way. If they said, no, we're not giving you any more, no, we're not going to do anything, this project just can't move forward. That's how I'd answer that question.
I would also have the concern that they say yes with great intentions, but then when it comes time to write a check, they're like, well, you know, we're running a little tight this year. I mean, you have to have some way of making sure that they can honor the promise. They've already made a lot of promises to firemen and police officers that they're going to have a hard time honoring. So what makes you think they're going to honor one to the BRA?
Director Masterson, did you have a question?
Yeah, that... You know, looking down the road, Jim keep talking about 100,000 acres, but we only have 30% of that, the BRA.
Today, and the associated 30% of the project.
Yeah, I mean, 100,000 acre feet per year, but Houston gets 70,000 acre feet, right?
Mm-hmm. If they pay for it.
Huh?
If they pay for it.
Well, you're sitting here telling me they're going to be our partner, so they're going to pay for it. So we've got, they get 70% of that 100,000 acre feet, right? Are they going to be tied to the same system rate that we are?
No. They're going to have to figure out what rate they want to sell that water for. And my guess is it would be much more expensive than our system.
And making it undoable.
And that is part of the challenge that the city is
so having. So our 30% can be a $70 and Houston's 70% can be at $200.
Well, the market.
Absolutely. It's their debt, it's their expense, their water.
If my information is correct, and it may not be, the Abengoa project where they're going to ship water from Burleson County down to San Antonio, mm-hmm. is projected to be $1,600 an acre foot. How much?
$2,300
an acre foot. So it's a lot of money too. It still has to be done.
It sounds cheaper when you get thirsty.
David?
Yeah.
David, it is a big number. I think I appreciate Bill making his comments, but I know a lot of us have talked about this a lot as well over the years. There's just not another place we can get water. It isn't a huge piece of water for us, but it's water. And we own the property already. I think it's worth noting the impound area. Right. And but I do think we need to underwrite the city of Houston from a financial standpoint, and we need to know what their unfunded liabilities are on their financial statement today, and how they've been, how they're being presented, because they're a gigantic municipality with a huge amount of potential liability out there. I don't know that number, but it's one of those types of municipalities in our country where, with the new accounting rules, seeing those unfunded liabilities could really scare us a little bit if they're not managing that properly. And I want to believe that they are, and they've been addressing it. But we still need to do the underwriting on our partner from a financial standpoint. So
should we have an agreement with Houston before we make an agreement for this amount of money? What's our back out?
That's our intention, and that's in the resolution. That's in our intention. Our intention is to have that agreement with Houston inked before we ink the agreement with MWH Americas.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Read the resolution.
Yes, sir.
Final thing. Gosh. In the resolution, it says Houston's intent. Well, I've had a lot of great intentions in my life. Without the ability, the intent is sort of meaningless. And I don't know how we go about having some way of having a good feeling that they are going to honor the obligation, whether they make it or not. But anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Didn't Sugar Land Rodenburg try to buy them out?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
Not that I'm aware of.
Maybe I dreamed that.
Being resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager CEO to negotiate and execute a contract with MWH Americas, Inc. for all activities associated with permitting, engineering, and design of the Allen's Creek Reservoir Project in an amount not to exceed $86,002,318. And be it further resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager to negotiate and execute an amendment to the existing agreement to the document the City of Houston's intent to reimburse the Brazos River Authority for 70% of the project costs associated with Allen's Creek Project. And be it further resolved that the work under the MWH Americas, Inc. contract, including any payments therefore, shall not commence until such time as the Brazos River Authority and the City of Houston have executed an aforementioned amendment to their existing agreements.
You've heard the resolution. Is motion to adopt? Talis, second. Kilgore, please poll the board.
Presiding Officer Scott?
Yes.
Director Ball?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Bennett?
Yes.
Director Bowles?
Yes.
Director Christensen?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Yes.
Director Flores?
Yes.
Director Huber?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Luton?
Yes.
Director Masterson?
Yes.
Director Munson?
Yes.
Director Rankin?
Yes.
Director Smith?
Yes.
Director Talis?
Yes.
Director Taylor?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we're going to break for lunch. How much time, Phil?
30 minutes.
30 minutes.